Very interesting. Last time, I don't know if it was last time or the time before, we talked about Shaddai's view of halacha. Now, I don't mean in terms of practical halacha, but the development of halacha over time, meaning how the Masorah works in terms of what Chazal were doing through their drashas, was transforming the original tent of the Torah for practical purposes. So the example we saw earlier in Bo is the example of Bein Arabayim, that they were sacrificing the Karban Pesach, or rather shechting the Karban Pesach to eat it that night. It says that they were supposed to do a Bein Arabayim. So Shaddai says there's no doubt that that means specifically twilight, Bein HaShemashot. However, the rabbis expanded that in the Mishnah and Pesachim to mean not just twilight, but the entire afternoon, because practically in the base of Mikdash, how are you going to be able to accomplish it if you don't do it the entire afternoon? There's so many korbanos to do. So that's an example of where Shaddai sees Chazal as not just passing down a Masorah, but also transforming through Drash the Torah for practical purposes, for the needs of the time. And of course, we said that that can be dangerous, especially because that kind of hashkafa is actually what created reform. It took on a more practical flavor. Shaddai says you keep the halacha. He believes the halacha is binding because we're Orthodox Jews. We take what we have and we keep it going. On the other hand, he recognized this historical nature of the Masorah. This is what we've been talking about, how Italian rabbis in the 1800s and before that didn't have to, had much more freedom in their thought than maybe in the rest of Europe. Before there was a time of reform, Shaddai could feel free to say these things that are now would be put him really over the edge when it comes to orthodoxy. But back then it wasn't like that. It didn't have that flavor. And in terms of practice, he practiced the halacha, except when he didn't. But whatever, we're not talking about that. But on the whole, in terms of his hashkafa. Okay, here's another example. A very interesting example of where he thinks that Chazal changed the halacha, or rather what the Torah was taught, or reinterpreted the Torah for the needs of their time. Okay, which might still be relevant today as it was to Chazal. That's a different discussion. Here we go. So it says, when you eat the Karban Pesach, this is in Yidbet Mem Gimel, it says one of the first halachot about who can eat it. It says, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe v'Aaron." God says to Moshe and Aaron, "Zot chukat ha-pasach." This is the law of the Pesach. Kol ben nechar lo yochovo. Any ben nechar cannot eat from it. So it's a ben nechar. Ben nechar means a foreign son, foreign-born person. Rashi says that's not what it means. Shinit nachru ma'asav le'aviv shebashalayim. It means a Jew who makes himself foreign through his actions from his father in heaven, meaning an apostate Jew, a Jew who goes off the derech. That's what it's referring to. He or she cannot eat of the Karban Pesach.
Someone who's not religious?
Someone who is not no longer religious, right? What level that is an interesting question.
Isn't that impossible to tell?
It's a good question how they practically made sure that this person was not a kofer, not an apostate. But perhaps this person was proudly saying, I'm an apostate, I still want to eat of the Karban Pesach. According to Chazal, the Torah is saying right here, at the very beginning of the creation of the Jewish people, it's already thinking of apostate Jews. Okay? So that's a little tough. And so Shaddai rejects it. And he says, Rashi, who's based on Chazal, that is not what the Torah is talking about. He says like this, Ein safik. Very strong language, right? There's no doubt, says Shaddai. Shu kimashma, that this should be read literally. Kol nachri. It means anyone who is a non-Jew. A non-Jew can't eat of the Karban Pesach. Which makes sense, right? Why can't a non-Jew eat of the Karban Pesach? Because the Karban Pesach is a very personal sign of our celebration from Exodus from Egypt. A non-Jew was not involved in that, right? What?
It's a huge question on this. Can a non-Jew not eat? Wouldn't that be implied?
No, not necessarily. Well, you're saying if the Torah never told you, you would have assumed it?
Oh, of course the non-Jews can take part.
What do you mean? Lots non-Jews can bring karbanos. Let's say a non-Jew brings a goat for a Karban Pesach. He wants to join in with the Jews. Why would you say automatically that's off limits? Not necessarily. Non-Jews can bring karbanos, can bring certain types of karbanos every day of the week. I don't know if it's necessarily obvious that non-Jews can't join in with the Karban Pesach, but it makes sense that they wouldn't be. Meaning, once the Torah tells you, can't, and non-Jews can't participate in the Karban Pesach. Anyway, the Chazal pirshu, but the Chazal say, right? They interpret it in Zvachim Chaf Bet Amud Bet. Mi shemit nacher le'aviv shebashmayim, which we quoted from Rashi. Someone who makes himself foreign, meaning he's a Jew, who foreignizes himself to God, meaning he's an apostate. He's a, what we call a mashumad. But who mashumad? A mashumad is someone who converts to a different religion. Shadal says, this was something that Chazal, I don't know if we call it invented, but came up with, or mischadesh, after many years of what it says in the Torah, until their point, it always meant non-Jew, and then they made it mean an apostate. Why? Why did they do that? Kishe amdu ha-yivanim, because the Greeks, the Greco-Persians or whoever, all the different nations, the Romans, had taken over Israel. V'gazru shmat al Yisrael. And there was now decrees against the Jewish people. Amru chachamim, lefitzor sha'ah. And so the rabbis realized there's a lot of apostate Jews now. A lot of people converting out of Judaism. And we need to punish them. We need to disincentivize becoming an apostate by saying, fine, if you become an apostate, you can't eat of the Karban Pesach.
So that has nothing to do with the apostate.
So it says Ben Nechar, and they interpreted Ben Nechar. They reinvented the very definition of what the pasuk is forbidding.
To cater their needs, though.
To cater the needs of the time. Again, this can be,
so
if
what
you...
What did it mean beforehand?
Before it meant non-Jews. You can't give the Karban Pesach to the non-Jews. Now it means you can't give it to apostate Jews. Can you also not give it to non-Jews? Maybe that's implied. Maybe you're right. Maybe that would be so obvious. Maybe that's part of why Chazal said it. But also, now it means, in addition to that, you can't give it to apostate Jews.
If you can't give it to apostate Jews, call the Homer, you can't give it an
R. Okay, probably. Maybe that's true also. But, right? So the rabbis did it for their time. Again, it can be dangerous. You just have to keep it as recognition of the historical power of Chazal, which other rabbis during the late 1800s, early 1900s were kind of saying similar type of things. Rav Kook had some similar allowances in response to reform, really. He allowed for certain types of views when it came to the Torah Shabbat Peh. The Dor Ravi, in his introduction to Chulin, has similar types of ideas. But anyway, okay, so he says, Ki ben nechar kol lo hanachri levado. So exactly what you said. Shadal says, once you, what were they doing? They were saying ben nechar means anybody who's foreign to Judaism, whether he's a Jew, became foreign, or an actual foreigner. Ah, ki gam ha'yudi amit nacher. That includes even the Jew who apostatizes. Ki amnam afilu yale adat shedibur Torah lemumarim. Even if you were to think that the Torah was referring to people who were going off the derech, at the very beginning of the entire Torah's description of the Jewish people, like the Jewish people were just created, and you're going to be, you think the Torah is already referring to times where they're going to convert out of Judaism? Lo yitakin shetidaber aleihem b'tchila. It's impossible to assume. Even if you think the Torah would talk about that, you think it would talk about it at the very beginning of its existence? Kodem kol davar, before anything else, kamo kan, like it does over here. Zot chukata Pesach. Here's the law of the Pesach. Let me tell you about apostates. Who would have even thought of apostates at that point? And why would it be the first law? Kol benechar lo yechabo, right? V'inei milat mishumad. Ah, so then Shadal gets into the idea of what the word, where the word mishumad comes from, with which the Ramban says comes from really Aramaic. It comes from shmoda'a. Ishtemoda'a means to become foreign to others. And the Koraim, he says, argued against Rashi, right? Yosef was recognized his brothers. So it says in the Pasuk, Ishtemoda Yosef la'achoi. That's how Unkelus has it. Ishtemoda. So maybe that's Mishuma, to become foreign. But the Karim's like, what are you talking about? That doesn't mean to become foreign like Nechar. It means like to do Heker, to recognize, right? Yosef recognizes brothers. The brothers didn't recognize Yosef. So he asked about that. And Shadal gets tries to figure out where the word Mishuma comes from and where it actually is and how it's different from Mumar, okay? And he goes through a lot of the different discussions here, even quotes from the Kuzari in Ksav Yad, he says. But okay, one of the interesting things he offers here, by the way, is that Mishumad actually comes from a meaning in that Mishu Amad. Amad, apparently in Syriac and other languages, can mean someone who dips in a mikvah, someone who dips in a pool, and it refers specifically to people who baptize into a different religion. It's like Christianity. And so that's all really interesting. We have to keep Shadal in this box, kind of he's an avant-garde when it comes to these concepts of what Chazal were doing. But on the other hand, he was a fierce Orthodox Jew who defended Orthodoxy against the enemies, its antagonists from without. And we should recognize as such his deep abiding faith alongside some of the more, extreme positions that he has in terms of history. Shkoyach.